Good morning and welcome. Very glad to see everyone here this morning. It's great to have Tralee Baptist with us this morning. It's the Cork Carey weekend, a combined service. And hopefully next year, all the churches in Cork and Carey can meet together. But we're together this Sunday, today, and we're happy that you made it over from Tralee. I've been going through a series, just started a series called Reviving the Church, and I'm just adding this into the series on missions, Reviving the Church. And missions, what does missions mean? So, what does it mean to be a missional church, or a missions-minded church? Either one works. Our two churches are part of the Cork Carey Church Planting Initiative. This group of churches strive to initiate and help with church planting efforts in the two counties. We are part of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland, or ABCI, and the Cork Carey Project was an initiative started by the Baptist Missions. And a few years ago, based on the fact that several churches in Cork were firmly planted and self-supporting, the Cork Carey Project became independent from Baptist Missions. So since that time, Passage Baptist Church was planted by Douglas Baptist and was constituted as a church this year. Middleton Baptist has been in a planting process of a church in Carrigtwohill. Amazing Grace Community Church in Skibbereen was planted and constituted as a church in January of last year. So back to the question of what is a missions-minded church. Well, let's make it simpler. What is missions? In each of these three church plants just mentioned, a church and or individuals prayed about and acted on the opportunity given them by the Lord. In the case of Middleton and Douglas, they prayed for God to show them areas to start reaching into a community. Once that happened, they prayed for people to be committed to Bible studies and various outreaches in those communities. Douglas Baptist, which had about 100 people attending at that time, had 20 people commit to help with the church plant in Passage. Amazing Grace Community Church was started through the vision of three young men in West Cork who had started a Bible study in Skibbereen a few years ago. Now, there was no church in West Cork, any west of Bantry, and they felt God leading them to start the Bible study. And we, here at Grace Baptist, have supported Rob and Amy Attridge during this time. Rob is the pastor of the church. And God allowed me to mentor Rob for a few years, giving him opportunities to preach here. In fact, in 2019, I had asked Rob to prayerfully think about moving to Killarney and be a part of Grace Baptist. And he was open to the possibility. But we went away that summer for 2 months, and when we returned, Rob and I met for coffee, and he said that he felt God calling him to plant a church in Skibbereen. That church constituted as a church during COVID. When they were finally able to meet as a church, they needed two services. And then Lona and I visited them last September, a year ago, on the first Sunday that there were no restrictions for meetings, and they had 70 in one service. Now, the statistics for a church plant to be successful and complete in Ireland, which means the church can support a pastor and survive on its own without any outside help, is 30 years. 30 years. Now, none of the new church plants are to that stage yet. Several in Cork and Kerry are not to that stage yet. It's a long process that takes a committed group of believers investing time into the church and the community. So again, what is missions? It is sharing the gospel with someone who has not heard the truth. It is committing to a place where it is spiritually dark and sharing the light of Christ. It is Christ-centered preaching to a lost and dying world. A missions-minded church is filled with people who bear personal testimony of what Christ did for them. A missions-minded church, which should be every church, a missions-minded church is preparing people to send them out to a lost world by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. so that the Holy Spirit can move in the hearts of the people. I want to read what the early church was doing in Acts 10 and how that same mission has not changed in 2,000 years. So Acts 10, going to read 34 to 48. And so Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth from the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judged by the to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name." And while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing him speak in tongues and speaking, they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Now in these verses, we will look at five basic truths of missions and evangelism. And the first is that the gospel is for everyone. It is not for the privileged or for any other subset of humanity. God told Ezekiel that in Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine. And then in Ezekiel 33:11, God says, "I do not delight in the death of the wicked, but that they turn back and live." All who are lost need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being a missions-minded church does not only mean sending and supporting missionaries to other countries and in other places, but any place that needs to hear the gospel. We live in spiritually dark communities. Each of us in Killarney and Tralee have a mission field of our own, and each individual person has a mission field of our own, whether it is at work, our families, friends, societies and clubs we're involved with, like golf clubs or hiking clubs, anywhere that there are people who do not have a relationship with Christ. You know, a church in the U.S. has a sign by the exit of the church car park that says, "You are now entering your mission field." Well, I would take that further and say, each time you walk out of your house, you have entered your mission field. When you leave this building today, you're entering your mission field. The mission field is not just for the missionaries, the pastors, the elders, or any other church leader. It is the church, the whole church, everyone, because each of us have been given the Great Commission to go, and as we are going, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we are sharing, Peter said that anyone who fears him, meaning God, and does what is right is acceptable to him. So anyone who hears the truth and responds by repenting of their sins and accepting Christ as Savior will be accepted by God. Peter gave the punchline before the joke. He gave us the last page of the book at the beginning. He's saying this is who can be saved. Everyone who hears the truth, fears God, and does what is right by accepting Christ as Savior will be accepted by God. But then let's backtrack. How does that happen? Well, the second basic truth is that God's plan of salvation goes through Jesus. Look at verses 36 to 38. The word that was sent to Israel and the world was Jesus. John 1 said, in the beginning was the word. And each time you see the word in John 1, 1 to 5, or the light, that he's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then in 1 John 1:1, John calls Jesus the Word of life. Jesus is the Word. He is God. And eternal life is only given through Jesus. Anyone sent out is to preach the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all. There is no other good news that can be preached. The good news is about Jesus and is Jesus. Paul told the church in Corinth that he did not come to preach with wisdom and fancy words, but he came only to preach about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. There are too many other gospels being preached. If salvation is through anything else but Jesus, then it is false. If salvation is taught to be through Jesus plus something else, then it is false. It is Christ, and it is Christ alone. What Jesus did on the cross for our sins is all that was needed. That one time, for all time, never to be crucified again. If there is any thought or idea that we need to continue to crucify Christ, then we are saying that what he that what he did on the cross was not enough. And it's a slap to his face. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He did not say, I am one of many ways. He did not say, I am one of many truths, and I am life if you do other things. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And how do we know this? Because when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, God the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and the power. Peter tells us here in Acts 10 that he did all the marvelous works, healing and preaching, because God was with him. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a child of the King. You're the family of God. And as you are going, believe that God is with you. As you are sitting on the train next to a stranger and hesitant about sharing the gospel, remember that God is with you. As you're having coffee or tea with a friend and nervous about sharing your faith, remember that God is with you. When the church plant for Passage started, they were doing Bible studies in a neighborhood. That area was rough. A lot of drug addicts, a lot of alcoholism. It was a very rough neighborhood. The church planters dealt with a lot of interesting and stressful situations. And through it all, they knew that God was with them. God blessed their efforts over the 7 years of Bible studies. In Skibbereen, during the years of Bible studies and reaching out to that community, they knew that God was with them. He blessed them. He sent encouragements to them through a variety of ways so that they knew they were doing what God wanted them to do. As you are sharing your faith with anyone, then be assured God is with you. The third basic truth of missions and evangelism in the church is that the best stories are your stories. Meaning, how has God worked in your life? Notice that Peter said in verse 39, and we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Peter and the disciples were witnesses of everything, including the crucifixion, the resurrection, and eating and drinking with Jesus after he rose from the dead. They spent 3 years with the Son of God. They witnessed countless miracles, healings, and casting out of demons. They heard the greatest teaching ever known by the greatest teacher ever known. Their lives were changed forever because of what Christ did for them. It is no different for us. We are witnesses of what Christ did for us, taking us from the darkness of sin and bringing us into the light of His salvation. Without Christ, we were destined for hell. With Christ, we have eternal life. Our testimony of what Christ did for us is our story. And people like to hear our stories. Now, I grew up in a totally different culture, so the context of my story doesn't work well here in Ireland. But what I can say is that when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ spoken plainly for my 8-year-old ears to understand, I knew that I did not want to go to hell. So I believed in Jesus, I repented of my sins, and I accepted them as my Savior. I wanted to live eternally with Jesus in heaven. Now, I've heard many of your stories of how you came to faith in Christ, and when I hear your stories, I am encouraged. My faith grows. And when I hear that you have shared the gospel with others, I know that you have shared a part of your story. Your testimony helps point people to Jesus, just as Peter's sermon pointed people to Jesus. Part of your testimony is how you grow in your faith. We do this most through reading and studying the Bible. When we have the Bible stories and teachings in our hearts and mind, then God can use those when you are sharing with someone. You may not share your personal story, but you might share a story from the Bible that applies to the situation. Or maybe you share a Bible study from a psalm, a Bible reading from a psalm or one of the Gospels that encouraged you. There are numerous ways to share, and there are volumes of books written on how to share. But the easiest way is just to open your mouth and allow God to direct your thoughts and your words. He promised that He would give you words to say. The worst feeling is feeling guilty because I stayed silent. I didn't say anything. And I felt that all too often. We don't need to be scared and anxious because God is with us. And the fourth basic truth of evangelism and missions in the church is to preach and to testify. Now, what is the focus of preaching and teaching? Jesus, and nothing but Jesus. Jesus was sent by God to provide salvation, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Jesus was also appointed by God the Father to be the judge of the living and the dead. He is our salvation and our righteous judge. So this is what Jesus told Nicodemus about why He came to earth and the consequences of accepting or rejecting. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Jesus' teaching and preaching amazed everyone. No one had heard teaching like that before. Jesus was the best teacher because he was the author of all that he taught. He was God the Son, and through his stories, his parables, his sayings, his teachings on what the scriptures meant and how they pointed to him, his emphasis was always turning people to himself. You preach Jesus and nothing but Jesus, bringing people face to face with him. Nicodemus was literally and figuratively face to face with Jesus, and he had to decide, do I accept this truth? Do I accept the light of Christ? Do I believe in that Jesus is the Son of God, or do I reject Jesus in my unbelief? Do I stay in the darkness of my own sin? Do I accept the eternal punishment that awaits me? Or do I accept the free gift of eternal life that only comes through Jesus Christ? In Psalm 9, the psalmist said, "But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the people with uprightness." When Paul was in Athens in Acts 17, and he is preaching to the Areopagus, which is just a group of people, and he spoke of Jesus by saying, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man," meaning Jesus, "whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead," raising Jesus from the dead. So based on the teachings of Jesus in John's Gospel and in the Psalms and in Paul's sermon, the decision to accept or reject Jesus is on the individual. Each person must make a choice. Jesus, as the righteous judge, will not condemn anyone unjustly. He will judge them based on their decision to accept or reject him. All we can do is preach and testify about Jesus. We cannot force anyone to decide. It is their decision to make. And that leads us to the last point. What happens when a missions-minded church is faithful to preach the gospel of Jesus and to be a witness for him? So the fifth basic truth is that we wait. What? What do you mean you wait? Well, up to this point, we have done all that we can do. Because we cannot decide for someone. We wait for the Holy Spirit to move in the lives of the people. So let's review what happened after Peter's sermon. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Did Peter have control over anything that happened here? No. What caused all the commotion? It was the Holy Spirit. Notice the turn of events. While Peter was still saying these things, he hadn't finished preaching, and the Holy Spirit was already moving in the hearts of the people. The Jewish believers then realized that salvation was for everyone, Jews and Gentile alike. Why? Because they witnessed the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. The Gentiles were speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter did what Jesus had commanded him to do. Besides preaching the gospel, were commanded to baptize the new believers. Too often churches think that they need to keep doing stuff. We were in the U.S. for the summer, and we visited many churches. Most were big churches with a lot of activities throughout the week. Activities for every age group. How much of that is just a flurry of activity to keep everyone busy? And how much of that is truly sharing the gospel with people who need to hear the truth? We are only commanded to teach and preach. Wait for the Holy Spirit to move in the hearts of the people. Then we baptize and train them to do the same. I mean, the best teacher is someone who can teach someone else to be a teacher. And I pray that every one of you are sharing the gospel with others, sharing your story, and when someone accepts Christ as Savior, you can guide them in their study of God's Word, helping them grow in their faith so that they can do the same. Now, how do we respond to all of this? How do we as a mission-minded church respond to this? So let's review the points. We can share with anyone we meet. It doesn't matter where they come from. We have many refugees in Killarney and Tralee and throughout Ireland, and it's okay to talk to them. They are alone and forced from their homes. Many are scared and overwhelmed by living in a totally foreign culture. Many may be believers and are nervous in finding a church or scared that they won't be accepted. Have courage to speak to them and invite them to church. The plan of salvation has never changed. As Craig said in the video, the cross has never changed. It's still the same. The story is still the same. It is Jesus and only Jesus. Nothing needs to be added. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and neither should you. We are we are witnesses of what Christ did for us. Your story is powerful because it involves Jesus transforming your life from a soul destined for hell to a soul clothed in righteousness and destined for an eternity with Christ. We are commanded to preach the gospel. We are not commanded to have a theological debate. We are not commanded to speak like we memorized a commentary. We are commanded to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in plain language so that everyone can understand. And the last, we wait for the Holy Spirit to do His work. This is the hardest part because we are an impatient people. We want things done our way, in our timing, and then God says, calm down. The pastor of Cork Baptist in the late 50s to early 70s preached the gospel faithfully for 20 years and not one person accepted Christ. Ted Kelly, who came from the north, trained as a missionary to go to Africa. He spent a year with Cork Baptist. He asked his mission board after that year if he could stay, saying that he would not find anyone more lost in Africa than here in Ireland. He was allowed to stay, and he worked with that pastor for a few years. After a couple of years with no one accepting Christ, Ted asked the pastor, why do you continue? Why keep preaching when nothing is happening? And the pastor said that God has told him to preach faithfully. And that's what he will do. He has not been called to do anything else or go anywhere else. Yes, he had a desire to plant other churches, but that was not his calling. Years later, Ted Kelly became the pastor of Cork Baptist, and during his time, people started responding to the gospel. More people were saved. Churches were planted. Those churches planted other churches. Most of the churches in Cork have roots back to Cork Baptist Church. That pastor planted the seed of the gospel for 20 years, and he never saw the fruit of his labor. But now, 50, 60, 70 years later, the fruit is seen in the 11 churches in the Cork Carey Project. Do we stop now? Do we say that this is enough? No, we need more churches. There's nearly 500,000 people in counties Cork and Kerry combined, and only about 20 churches that preach the gospel. My prayer since January 2021 is that the Holy Spirit will move in the hearts of the people of Killarney, throughout all of County Kerry, and in all of Ireland, that men would heed the call to preach the gospel, that the existing churches will be saved and more churches planted, all for His glory. So as a missions-minded church, what is your response today? As an individual, what is your response to the gospel today? Will you accept Jesus as your Savior, or will you reject Him? I pray that you accept Christ today, and I pray that all the churches will be sharing the light of Christ to this spiritually dark world. Let's pray.